the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
To other people in your life, but it doesn't feel like there's a lot left over for you.
Yeah, there haven't been, and also that's not sustainable. I'm trying off to give, be compassionate.
Right.
Do all this for other people, and always wondering why it's not sustainable.
Right.
But in these weeks, I've really been able to have that for myself.
Yeah. And it really makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Because if I'm giving it, so it's coming from here to there, and it's never being replenished in here, no wonder it's not sustainable, because the source of it is never replenished.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, at Blue Mountain these past few days, I spent, quite a bit of the downtime looking at that wall of photos, the wall of acceptance, and as I was looking at all those faces, it just kept striking me how, there was so much, they were all so beautiful and so precious.
Yeah.
And, and it just came to me, how can I be the only one excluded from that? I mean, everyone around me, everyone in the center, and everybody that was working there.
Yeah.
And I projected so much.
Yeah.
And so it was a real tangible way for me to own those projections.
Yeah. So this last week, over the weekend, we've been doing our peace storming, and we were working with the Youth and Family Coalition. And there's a beautiful, giant whole wall that has blown up, what are they, like 8x10 photographs of all these different kids, mostly kids, some of the adults, that are in the program. And you were projecting goodness onto them and to everyone who was working around you and and realizing, wow, I'm probably part of that too.
So this is a, this has been, just a beautiful experience.
Yeah, and you know, to underline one of the things you're saying, so you've been on retreat quite a bit, you've been practicing for a while, and you're saying that it feels like you're really starting to be able to soak up that experience of compassion. And that's such a, it seems like that's such an important point, that it takes a while, you know, to do all of that, and that's just fine. That's part of the process. You know, I had this image as you were talking of, you know, I go out to this barren patch of land and decide that I want to have a garden. Great. And I can see the garden there, you know, in a sense. I can see what's possible for that piece of land. And to realize that that's going to be a process. That's going to take time before I can put a seed in the ground and that it will really be able to take and to grow. And why would it be any different for ourselves? So we see this possibility for ourselves. And to be really patient, one of the words you used for, you know, being in the kitchen with working with all your fellow retreatants doing the cleanup, to be really patient as that process unfolds. Thank you. Peggy and Stephanie.
I've been feeling having awarenesses around willingness and being grateful for the part of me that is willing, when I first took my, when I took the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, I had brought my own little meditation cushion and pillows for my knees and this whole setup that I was very attached to. And
put out my little yellow mat, have my coffee over here.
And very quickly, the guide asked me if I would be willing to sit on a zafu. And it was like, there's this moment. But the word was willing. And it was said that I could leave my things outside the meditation hall, and if I should need them, that they were there for me. And that just made all the difference in the world. Yes, I was willing. And that willingness has grown. And the practice continually asks me to look at my limitations and asks me to step beyond my limitations and never says that I have to give up, that, you know, that they are there outside the room should I choose to keep them. But that part of me, and maybe it is me, I don't even know if it's a part, that willingness, that, because conditioning, if it was, if I was conditioning, I wouldn't even be here, because conditioning, you know, I keep reaching these points in practice where, you know, it start, the conversation is, well, you've made just such a fool of yourself, and there's just no reason to go back, and blah, 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 you know, and it has this campaign. But it's like this, there's this motion that of this willingness that is willing to return again and again and again despite the conversation, despite the conditioning that says, the ego that says, well, it knows it's in trouble.
And, and to me, in what you're describing, the transformative piece of it is that there's no should in it. So there's never a, Peggy, you should be sitting this way, or you should be, it's always, because it has to be up to you, it has to be your choice. And sometimes the choice is, yes, I'm willing for that, or I choose to leave. Sometimes that's the choice, but we each have to make that choice, because that's the only way the transformation can happen, is if we're choosing it for ourselves. No one else can choose it for us.
Exactly, and a lot of times when I'm in a place of suffering, It's like I see that there's two stepping stones. You know, this stepping stone is a habit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a suffering in that direction, but there's a familiarity about it.
Mm-hmm.
And over here is a stepping stone, and I don't know where it's going.
Right.
But, you know, it's just, it's a faith
mm-hmm.
and a trust
yeah.
going that way.
Yeah.
And I find myself, you know, standing at that crossroads
yeah.
a lot.
All the time. Yeah.
yeah.
That's all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. And that, the way you lay it out, that's really helpful, that I don't even really have to know where I'm going.
No.
I don't have to have a clear sense of it. What, as we practice over time, what we do have a clear sense of is I know that suffering road. We learn to recognize the signals of I've been down that road before, so I'm not going to choose that one.
Mm-hmm.
This one's unfamiliar. I don't know this road, so I'm going to choose this one. Now, it may turn out that they're suffering down this road too, and then I'll begin to see that. But as I see which ones really are the suffering, I can at least choose not to go down those.
That road, yes. Mm-hmm. And having that you know, that fear right there,
yeah.
it, you know, to just step,
yeah.
Is just, and having that willingness inside of me
yeah.
to take that step.
Yeah, because it really is the willingness, isn't it? Because it's a, you know, we might be scared, we might not want to,
mm-hmm.
you know, all those things, all of that is completely fine. All it takes is yes, 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 and I'm willing. Yes, I'm scared. Yes, it's hard. Yes, I don't want to, but I'm willing. And that's really all it takes.
And that other stepping stone is always there.
It's always there.
If I want to choose it, it's there. Yep. Nobody's telling me I can't, yep. I'm a bad person, or anything.
In fact, it will always be there. So if I choose the suffering stepping stone, in the next moment, it's still there. It's there again. The minute I come back to consciousness, I can see that one.
There's a crossroads again in every moment.
Yes.
In every moment.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just, whether it's a part of me or the essence of me, the willingness, I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, but
right.
just really grateful that they're, to just start to get a sense that I am not my conditioning,
mm-hmm.
that there's something deeper
yeah.
and pure and really grateful for that.
Yeah. Thank you. Stephanie.
I've been struggling a little bit the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
When I had so much resistance with the thistles,
mm-hmm.
I really tried.
The peace storming project, when there were thousands of thistles to pull.
Yeah, in the mud and the rain, they were stuck in my fingers, and I was really pretty miserable for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I really tried to access my mentor.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed like my mentor didn't want to be there either. I really just wanted to say, I'm done with thistles right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't.
Right.
And so it felt like I just had to, like, just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And in retrospect, I thought, you know, maybe I could have slowed down. Maybe it was my, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, in retrospect.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me of the woman on the call who said, you know, there's part of me laying prostrate saying, no!
Right.
You know, of resistance. And,
yeah.
you know, I kind of thought about that later. But
mm-hmm.
I think I got frustrated
mm-hmm.
because I couldn't seem to move out of it. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess the good news is I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And it
mm-hmm.
took time. I mean, it just took time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm glad somebody else brought up willingness, because it seems like sometimes that's
yeah.
all there is left.
Yeah, and it's so interesting to me in what you're saying that, you know, you did it. You did it, you survived it, it was fine, you saw a lot in it, and yet it sounds like from what you're describing there's some evaluation that, well, but it should have gone slightly differently, or I should have been able to bring in the mentor, I should have been...
There is that, for mm-hmm. sure.
Because
mm-hmm. it seems like, well, you know, other people are not cursing the thistles. How is that possible?
As far as we know.
Right.
Yeah.
So there is. And, you know, along with that was yesterday when everyone was sharing, it seemed like I was doing comparisons like, you know, I'm not quite as moved as others.
Did you see where that rated on the scale of me? They're like at a 7.
They were more like at a 10. And I was like, you know, the surface is cool. I like it, but, you know, I don't feel like I'm going to run home and serve my community.
Mm-hmm.
So there is judgment about that, and it feels like, you know, with the wishy-washy guidelines a little bit, that was hard for me, and that's something I've been dealing with, you know, over the past few years, you know, being on a team with other people. It's like, what do you say? What do you don't say? Can I talk? Can I not talk? So that really came up for me, and I could just feel, I could feel sliding into self-hate. But it was still, it seemed so difficult to get out of it. I'm still kind of, and so then it brings up fear of like, I can't do this, it's so hard, and blah, 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 blah. So it's been difficult.
And what does it feel like would be helpful? Because we know there are going to be times like that, right?
I mean,
there are
times that scares me.
There are times where we're cruising along and it's all clicking and, you know, things are going well. Maybe even I'm getting what I want. And so, you know, this is nice. It's all kind of working. And then there are times when that's not happening. And we know that's going to happen, right? We know sooner or later the pendulum is going to swing to both sides. So here you are. You know, this is your front row seat to, okay, so when things aren't clicking, when things are hard, what feels like it would be helpful?
Well, I came in here this morning. It was helpful just to come in and meditate by myself.
Oh, great.
Of course, there was some clinging and clanging in there. And I thought, can I shut the door? You know, my attention's going over there. So,
which is perfect to see that, right? Because, again, if what I'm doing is coming in to meditate so that I can learn to be with whatever is, that's just perfect that there would be clanging back there. And then that, well, can I shut the door? Can I? Because it's exactly the thistles, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the same.
Can I change
this?
Yeah. And I didn't, and it was fine.
Yeah. Which is one of the huge benefits of being at the monastery, isn't it? I can't change it.
Yeah.
Because out in life, there's the illusion that I can change it.
Yeah.
And we spend our entire lives trying to change it.
Yes. Yeah. So it feels kind of like an uphill battle sometimes. The guidelines, you know, I was in love with the guidelines a couple weeks ago, and they suck, right, this week.
Which is helpful to see, isn't it? So we can know, oh, I'm in a different person here. I'm in a different person.
So there's one more thing, and I hesitate to say it because I'm thinking I broke a guideline, but I'm going to share it anyway, which was about a week ago. I found a heart rock, and I collect heart rocks, and it was off the property. It's like it wasn't here. And so I had it in my pocket, and I had it in my hermitage, and so I brought it this weekend thinking maybe I can paint it or, you know, it's part of the project or whatever, but still, that's a slippery slope, right? So at the very end, I had it in my pocket all day. We're leaving, and I thought, I'm just going to go give it to Kay. Couldn't stand it. So I walked up. I said, Gloria, I pulled it out, and I said, I'd like you to have this. And she kind of did one of those, and looked at me and said, I have a heart rock collection. Thank you. And it was like, to me, it was like a moment of grace, where I was just like, but I'm still kind of breaking a guideline. So
well, and that's so interesting, isn't it? Because what are you left with in that?
I'm left with feeling like I broke a guideline rather than the grace that was there. It was.
That's huge to see, isn't it?
I don't know what to do with it, though. I really don't. Is it breaking the guideline or is it... I really don't. I mean, I want to choose the grace.
And what if there were nothing to do with it? What if that process of, what do I do? What do I do with this? What if that's the habit to take you away from just simply seeing? You know, because we say it over and over and over all the time. All we're doing is looking. We're just watching. And I'm, you know, I'm guessing that in that scenario that you just laid out, you could see a lot of your life. And if you were able to just simply be present to that, what you might see in that. Without the, you know, without the self-hate, without the figuring it out, without needing an answer, just simply just letting it be and allowing, you know, inviting insights. You know, if there are any, sometimes, you know, something I do, if there's anything to see about this that would be helpful, I'm open to it. And then just going about my life. and letting that drop in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's difficult, but it's good. I hear what you're saying, and I do sense the difficulty in it. So mm-hmm. it's good. Yeah. I'm glad. So thank you. Thank you.
Dave.
Well, a couple things come up as I hear that. Mm-hmm. Is what I've heard Sherry often say, which is it is never compassionate to oneself to break the guideline.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter what happens as a result of what we do,
yeah.
we, in order to take control, we had a group recently taking responsibility for taking control.
Uh-huh.
You know, to take control in that way, I abandon myself.
Yeah.
I choose conditioning over me,
mm-hmm.
and what result is inevitably going to be not compassionate.
Yeah. Even if within that, I mean, it's just like we were kind of looking at, there would have been all kinds of things to receive had I not gone to kind of the back door.
Well, the thing is, we don't know.
Right.
Because if we choose what, like in a case like what you just described, you know, and we've been talking about this amongst the DPTers, the way out is, hey, I have this
exactly.
this heart rock. Does it feel
yeah.
appropriate to?
Yeah.
That's the way out.
Communication.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Because that completely takes it out of the hands of condition.
Mm-hmm.
But see, if we don't do that, we don't know.
Yes.
So the result, okay, well, you know, this word grace, who really benefited from that?
Mm-hmm.
Was it the heart?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it ego?
Mm-hmm.
We can't know.
Yep.
Because we can't trust the place that impulse comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It's, and in my experience, it's very likely when there's that urgency behind it,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, I say, well, I don't care. I'm going to do this because it's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the result can sometimes feel good,
mm-hmm.
like an example would be, well, there's something in the refrigerator I really want.
Mm-hmm. Ice cream.
Yeah. I you know they've got some ice cream in there. Yeah. And nobody's around. And it's late Sunday night or something.
Yeah.
Well, and I know that's not the thing to do. I know it's clear that the guidelines say that's not appropriate, but I don't care.
Yep.
And so maybe I'll eat the ice cream, and it will feel good.
Exactly.
And I'll be like, yes, this is good. That means
yep.
that was the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But what's being served ultimately is to my detriment rather than to my benefit.
And we'll always, I mean, if we're paying attention, we'll see that very quickly. I mean, so it will feel good to eat the ice cream, but very likely, very momentarily. And what I'm left with is, oh, I shouldn't have done that, but I wasn't supposed to, can't believe you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the other thing about it I think is tricky is that to ego, for ego to get its needs met, that feels good to ego.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a heck of a lot of practice and awareness to tell the difference between what feels good to ego
uh-huh.
and what actually is, you know, kind of good with
yeah.
you know, capital G,
yeah.
I'd say.
Yeah, that's
right. And it's a slippery word. We're so used to thinking of ourselves as ego that we,
yeah.
we can't really see the difference.
Yeah, so ego to ego, it feels good for ego to get its needs met. And it takes a lot of practice to discern the difference between ego feeling good about getting its needs met and who I really am,
mm-hmm.
and serving what really serves me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know if I exactly draw the parallel, but the other thing I was thinking about that conversation is, you know, the mentor really is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And not, you know, when we talk about the mentor, it feels like we're talking about like a real specific kind of way of working with that, but I think it's more of a metaphor for just, mm-hmm. you know, that kindness and generosity and love that's there
yeah.
when we're not in the way of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, if the mentor doesn't want to be there,
yeah.
it's not the mentor.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and what you just said a second ago is critical, that what we're learning to do is strip everything else away that's being laid on top of the mentor.
Right.
Because
right.
so if the mentor doesn't want to be there, there's something still there on top of what would allow the mentor to be there, we could say, even though, in a sense, the mentor is there. The mentor is just there.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still something on top of all of that that's not allowing that to be seen or experienced.
Yeah, that's really helpful, what you're saying there, because I think that's really true. It really is what is there
mm-hmm.
when I'm willing to, well, it's interesting that in one way of time, when I'm willing to give up control.
When I'm willing to
give up control.
Uh-huh.
You know, so like, you know, here's something like, I don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
That's a form of control.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want this. I do want this. Mm-hmm. Now, that's all a form of trying to control the experience, but then the mentor has no, that's not a part of the mentor's experience at all. It's just, yes, this is what is. Everything is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with that, you know, connecting with that larger, compassion, it's also a larger intelligence. And that intelligence says, it can see the way out.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, this is the way this is being negotiated, there's no way for me to win.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. No matter what I do, I'm going to lose. Because because I either do, you know, I'm a dualistic world. I don't do the thing I really want to do.
Yeah.
I lose. I do really give the thing I want to do.
Yeah.
Do the thing I really want to do. I lose.
Yeah.
Well, what's the way out? Well, say something.
Yeah.
You know, that's what comes from that larger intelligence.
Yeah. And I think what you're pointing at is that when we give up control, which we might as well since we don't have it to begin with. But so what I just saw in that actually, as I was saying that, is that's why it works in a sense. It's because there is no control. Here I am trying to have control. Then I realize that I can't have control, so I give up control, which aligns me with life.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly the insight drops in of, oh, mm-hmm. I see what I could do. I could just ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's always a way that works.
Yeah.
There always is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When I think about something like the privileged environment, I don't know if I can really say what I just saw, but there's something about that that is what always works.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a space for the mentor to be there. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
It supports that, you know, because, you know, it feels like, you know, in the way that the way the monastery is set up, there's always a way that works.
Yeah.
I think probably in the way life is set up too. But particularly because there's guidelines that help me reflect me, see what's going on. If I'm unclear, there's a way that I get clarification on the guidelines.
Yeah.
And then there's this whole other piece where there's no right and wrong, and there's no shoulds, and there's no reason to feel bad or be punished.
Yeah.
And so there's this great big open space to, it feels like that's what it is to find that place that is, I'm willing for the mentor to be here. I'm willing to give up absolute control over my life so that I can be at one with that which loves me and takes care of me and wants me to succeed in my life rather than continually struggle and fail.
Yeah, yeah. Back to the willingness. I'm willing for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the, I'm not sure how to do that. You know, I can't seem to make it happen, but I'm willing for it. And so we put ourselves in an environment like this where, as you say, it does seem like, you know, it's the same setup in life, but the mentor, you know, being kind of a metaphor for center, is not demanding. It's not loud. It's not going to demand our attention. And so it requires us to get quite still and quiet in order to be able to see it, to hear it, to experience it.
Yeah, I think that's really true. And I think that's why the resistance, it's like resistance is so helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know if resistance is there, that's not it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot like Peggy was saying. We just, really all we have to discern is what isn't it.
Yeah.
That's all we're doing. Now, oh good, it's the 1,000 ways in which it doesn't work, right? Mm-hmm. The Thomas Edison and the light bulb and the his foreman comes to him and says, this is a total waste of time. You know, we know 1,000, no, he says, we've done 1,000 experiments and this is not working. And he says, nonsense. We know 1,000 ways in which it doesn't work. And that's all we need to know. What doesn't work? Don't go in that direction, not that door.
And then when we know, to maybe not go there. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's the willingness.
That's the willingness.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking of, I learned this as the cook. I can't say that I really acted on it all that much, but, you know, what I got was, if that resistance is there, and it was, a lot of the time.
Oh yeah.
I shouldn't be making any decisions.
Yeah. Right.
I cannot be trusted right now. With anything. Not even a hard-boiled egg.
Which is the most trustworthy person on the property?
Mm-hmm.
The one who can say, "I can't be trusted right now."
Mm-hmm.
Who can tell the difference between when I can and can't be trusted? And that's even sketchy because when can I be trusted? But yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that explains all that time in the kitchen.
Oh, just oh, it's painful, isn't it? Just mm-hmm. bumping up against. And to me, in that, I can just see the karma pushing for suffering, mm-hmm. just mm-hmm. putting me over and over in situations that are not going to work. Mm-hmm. There's just no, back to what you were saying, it's a lose-lose, mm-hmm. no matter
yeah.
what.
And I've mentioned this already in one of the groups over there, but I just had such a beautiful experience of the opposite of that. It felt like over the past few days where just felt like there was just a lot of willingness mm-hmm. Amongst our team. Mm-hmm. And their team too, but yeah. Particularly in our team, it's just like, truly, it was like, hey, could you please, yes.
yeah.
It's just so fun. Yeah. And it feels like that's practice yeah. for what we're trying yeah. to do for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And just, yes, yeah. yes, I'm willing. I'll let go of all this stuff yeah. at once so I can just say yes to this.
And you know, the best part about it is that I could be, so you come to me as a supervisor and say, will you do this? And I say, yes, I could hate it.
Mm-hmm.
I could hate it. And that's yeah. perfectly okay. Mm-hmm. That is not a problem. And mm-hmm. it feels like it's sort of the fake it till you make it thing, where over time, mm-hmm. what will take over the I don't like this is to realize how good it feels to just say yes mm-hmm. and to be willing. Mm-hmm. And that will outgrow, it will outlast the, but I don't really like that one.
Yeah, of course, that one. You don't hate it.
No.
It hates it.
Exactly. That's, so that's a better way to say it, that, you know, who I really am outlasts that connected system. Yeah. Melinda, today.
Well, I was just being struck by looking back on times when I've been faced with that dilemma of, I really want to do this, and it feels like the right thing to do, and there's a little, you know, and maybe it would be good to ask.
That's so funny. I really want to do this, and it feels like the right thing to do.
Yeah. So a little conversation there. And when I can go to that, I'm going to ask. There might be some momentary disappointment that I didn't just go ahead with, but there is a complete, it just moves me into a place of, this is the win.
Yeah.
Hmm.
This is what win. I really want, actually.
This is what I really want. And I'm recognizing it as the same place as giving up smoking and not having that cigarette that I'm being told I really, really want. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To make it through that time and not have it is the huge reward that is inherent in going with, actually what the heart wants, but not going with the urgency, not going with the, I got it or else.
And you can really see why the resistance would be so strong to that. Like, say, in the smoking example is perfect, to try to really get you to smoke the cigarette. Because if you don't smoke the cigarette and then realize that actually the reward from not smoking it is millionfold smoking it, then it's like, oh, geez, we've lost this one.
Yeah, exactly. It is the power position.
It's the power position.
It is the position that feels most powerful because it has been successful in not getting, you know, unconsciously yanked over by conditioning.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you. Alex.
I actually can feel what everyone is talking about because there is a distinct feeling when the urgency of conditioning builds up to push its point of view and starts to direct where it is that I feel like I need to, or the right thing, or the it's just so fascinating because it's like there is a place that we're talking about of that the mentor loves me unconditionally.
Uh-huh.
And that is the place where all of this urgency is. It's like a huddle. I just picture it like I'm here, I'm in the middle of this huddle, and the huddle are all the voices of conditioning. And it feels like I'm being separated from the mentor, you know. But what it is that's happening is the voices that are around me are all clamoring about trying to get their point of view and to get me to go along with what they're saying and convincing me that what I need is out there.
Yeah.
And it's just such a thin layer where they actually are.
Yeah.
But they're so loud.
Yeah. Well, when you said that image, I just had the image of that the mentor's actually right there with you.
Yes.
Inside the circle.
It's
but you have no idea.
About. Yeah.
You have no idea they're there because it's, you know, I just saw you looking up around at these voices, that, you know, in the huddle around you.
It probably isn't a layer around. It's more like a look up there, you know, like the so they're all up there clamoring, and all the meanwhile, I'm right there with it.
Right.
You know, it's, what is the phrase? Joy is what's there when we stop doing everything else.
Right.
Mentor is what's there when we stop doing everything else. The compassion is there.
And everything good is what's there when we stop
doing everything else. That's right. Just the stop doing everything else part.
Yes.
Which is something that I feel like...
Which is what's so powerful about practice, it feels like, is that so many other things that it seems like humans do to try to alleviate their suffering is about laying things on, learning something new and making myself better and trying this and trying that. And what practice is just stop.
That's right.
Just stop. Stop doing that. Stop believing that. Just get here.
Yeah, and that's where all of the comes from, it feels like, because that's the only thing that's going to drive me out of the place of the thousandfold experience of not having that cigarette.
Right.
The success, the overwhelming place of, oh my gosh, I am being loved and cared for in every moment. I would never get to that place if I felt like my worth and love and care came from this thing that I'm lighting up.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh.
And
sad.
Yeah. And the communication part I've really resonated with as well, too, because if I am unconditional, if the love that I want is unconditional, then the answer can be yes or no to it. And I will, the response for me will, because I watch for myself that if there's a conversation about should I seek guidance or not, that usually the one that the voices will win at is that, well, if they might say no.
Right.
And I'm unwilling for the no.
And, you know, as I just saw when you said that, it's ludicrous, that conversation. Should I seek guidance or should I not? What's the downside of not seeking? You know, what's the downside of seeking guidance? So I seek guidance. Why wouldn't I seek guidance? If there's any conversation at all, why wouldn't I seek guidance?
Yeah. Because it is not on my side.
Right.
And what it's trying to frame it is in is that I am on your side. So the answer can't be no. Because if it's no, I doesn't get what I want.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And in that action, when I go along with it, this has got to be all without the self-hate, because it's not... But we have the experience over and over again of it's setting me up for something that is saying that it's going to be really good.
Right.
And what it is just an opportunity for it to beat me up afterwards.
Yes, like, exactly.
You do the guideline.
Exactly.
Why did you do that?
And you fall for it. That's the shocking thing. Yeah. We fall for it.
Yeah, I end up with the ice cream at Sunday night. Yay, I got it.
And and then maybe a moment of really liking the ice cream, but probably not.
Right.
Yeah.
And the place that I think we were all working with the burning of the karma of going along with the bad advice is to a place of I'm okay right here, like I don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah.
It's proving to myself over and over again that I'm okay exactly where I am.
Yes. I'm okay exactly where I am. Yep. And maybe, so I'll seek guidance. Maybe I'll get this thing and maybe I won't, but I'm okay right here. Thank you. Lots of hands. We'll go to this side. Yeah, John.
This has really been helpful. Just watching, I was attached to Shasheen's when I came, thinking that, you know, last time I had such a deep experience, I wanted that. I wanted it. And I could see as we went along, it's not going to happen. Well, I don't even know.
I was going to say.
Yeah. You never know. the fact that we did this, I mean, we went to the laundromat. That was pretty good.
And then, it was almost a shame.
No, because this 3 days has been a workshop each day.
Uh-huh.
And then each night.
Uh-huh.
The expansiveness.
Uh-huh.
The joy of discovering what the monks have been hiding from me about service. They haven't been telling me, they've been having so much fun, and I didn't know it. And
here we were thinking being in the kitchen was service.
So what really has happened is there's been this expansiveness during the day. And then at night, I've had dreams and I've had stories, and it's almost as though the threat to conditioned experience is so great that I have this opposite experience at night. And I'm awake. I'm this morning at meditation, I haven't hit my head yet against the wall, but I'm just not getting sleep. I feel like I'm doing this each night, this workshop, and in the middle of the night, and different stories that are so entertaining. They're better than ever. it's very alluring.
Yeah.
And
well, it's not from what you're saying. It's needing to really ramp things up at night to get you, because during the day there's so much expansion.
And so it's kind of obvious, but I'm still watching myself in and going for the ice cream kind of thing. And then each night's a little different, but it's in that way. And I've also watched how I've crossed the line. So this discussion has been so helpful because I found myself not wanting to bother my supervisor when Peggy wanted the roof fixed. And he's busy and there's so much going on. And there's so many. And so, you know, here I send her the hardware store. I mean, that's not my job.
Right.
She asked what was needed. And I thought, well, everybody's busy. And
I know what's needed. You know,
the whole story. Anyway, it's so helpful.
And then later, it's like, wow, isn't it? Like, where did that come from?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, so many opportunities. And to do it, I think, for me, this late in the... There's much more sensitivity and also kind of crossing the line and seeing that and then that desire, as was being discussed, I wanted so much to express my gratitude. At the end, I said something to the cook and just watching the urgency to leave without having that connection. But hearing this discussion was really helpful in clarifying what that urgency, because there was that discussion and that drive, and I went with that versus sitting with and trusting something else would be that it would be okay, as if I had to take care of letting them know something.
Right.
So really, really useful.
Yeah. Gosh, that is useful. Yeah. And from what you're laying out, it really does underline how when we stay conscious to the best of our ability through all of it, especially in the post, where conditioning wants to come in with the self-hatred and the reviews, if we can stay conscious, we see so much. We see so much. And we begin to get, you know, sort of like that metaphor we've been talking about this morning, where we begin to get more information about where the suffering roads lead.
Right.
And then the next time it occurs to us, I've actually been down that road. I remember that urgency to go and express my, and I'm going to try something different.
So useful. And to do this, this work outside of this space, I think, is invaluable.
Yeah.
It's so invaluable.
Well, I think that's a big thing that people are responding to in the at-home working meditation retreats, is that suddenly it's like, wow, this is, you know, practice is coming into my home, my life, my, you know, whatever it is.
Well, one other thing that really stood out was when the musicians came and we did this kind of smoky... I just saw something that really took me back. I used to sing in Catholic school. I was in a boys choir for 5 years, and I used to draft behind stronger vocalists. And you know, it's funny. I wanted that same experience, but nobody was really coming up strong with it, and I could kind of go all the way back to recognizing where that young boy was not willing to express fully and trust. And it kind of came from that experience, and it was wonderful to go back and recognize that part and kind of reclaim a link to something that was a belief or a system that that kept me safe somehow.
Like, wanted to express himself, but didn't feel comfortable being really out front and center.
Yeah.
So kind of drafted behind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah. Thank you. Jessica.
One little thing. And then a bigger thing.
speaking of asking for guidance, I've been looking at that tissue box, and I'm trying to figure out, how I should get some tissue.
Well, in this case, I happen to be close to the box. So in the future, you're very welcome to stand up and get it.
But this weekend has been very joyous in so many ways, and I think a lot of that has been service, which is something that really drives a lot of my joy and passion in life anyways. But the first group that we had on, I guess, Thursday, I mentioned that I was feeling very kind of lonely and isolated because I felt, you know, as someone who isn't here on the month-long deepening practice retreat, I think it compounded an insecurity that I almost always have, I guess, when I come to the monastery, that I'm not good enough and that I'm not up to follow the guidelines and I'm not as, you know, I'm not as disciplined as everybody else. And
anyone else?
And so then, since, you know, everyone else had been doing this for, you know, several weeks already, I kind of felt like this really novice, you know, kind of, I don't know, almost just, I guess, just feeling like it was much more obvious to me and then projecting to everyone that I had no idea what I was doing. And then it was interesting to me, the progression of the mornings. On Thursday morning, I fully slept through the Wake Up Bella meditation. And somebody had to come and wake me up, and that I immediately, obviously, was thinking, "Wow, I am really not here doing, you know, I'm not, you know, up to it." And then the next morning, I woke up and I was trying really hard to get here, and then I was about 5 seconds late. And so then I wasn't able to participate also in the meditation, but then I went back to my room and just kind of did my own meditation. But and then on Saturday, I made it, and I felt really good and happy and triumphant about that. And I think that it's probably, I mean, a somewhat different experience this weekend because of, you know, going out into the community and doing the service and, you know, having some more interaction and some more kind of wishy-washiness of the guidelines and all that, but I really did kind of feel by the end that I, you know, was up to the task to, you know, whatever extent I can be up to the task right now. And,
Which is really the whole thing, isn't it? Because up to the task in a way that conditioning would want us, you know, that sort of amorphous standard that conditioning would set, which is completely irrelevant because the only point of it being there is for us to not meet the standard and then suffer. But to realize I'm perfectly adequate to this experience and I can contribute whatever I can contribute. Great, that's enough.
And I also just, I have been kind of like proud of myself a little bit, and I feel like there have been a few of the guidelines that I've paid like more attention to and been more disciplined about in this weekend, even with going out into the community, mm-hmm. than I think that I have before. Mm-hmm. And
so it felt good to pay extra attention to those.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's, the weekend as it progressed, I grew in my feeling of adequacy I want to say joy, but it's also, I think, just kind of, I think it really, it has to do with kind of stripping away mm-hmm. some of the different layers of freaking out that I mm-hmm. tend to have. and that actually relates to my PPP intention, which is to get to know and befriend the adult that's somewhere inside of mm. all the kind of adolescent layers that have kind of, I think, really crystallized over the years. mm-hmm. And I think that I'm hoping that I'm I'm learning to kind of shed some of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Big year. Thank you. Amy, keep seeing your hands.
I've been looking at something really big that I got talked out of talking about in any sort of group that we had at Blue Mountain mm-hmm. because there's a conversation about the appropriateness of it with the privileged environment. Mm-hmm. And I still have a little bit of that going on right now, but here it goes.
You made a mistake on pinning it on Blue Mountain. Now it's the excuse.
And that is that I have a relative that lives in West Point, and who I've never met, and I had it was interesting being in a privileged environment, being there with this sort of urge to be like, oh, do you know so-and-so? That just seems like the thing to do.
Of course, yeah.
And also just this real sense of two things. There was some self-hate going on that was like, you should have invited her. Like, you have a family member living in this community that you've come in to assist in this community, and
does it ever occur to you just to turn to that voice and go, you know, that ship has sailed, so let's not have that conversation?
Well, that's pretty much what I kind of...
What you did?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to stay right there.
It's like, well...
We didn't, so what's the point here? I didn't hear you making a big campaign for making that happen before we went out there.
That campaign wasn't made before. And, which I recognized that too. It was like, what I was looking at though was, because it felt like, well, what's the appropriate thing to do being in the privileged environment, that would that even work and that sort of thing?
Right,
and
exactly. So, never met her before. Yeah. I'm a monk. We're in a. Huh. I
So actually what I did was posted a note to
the theme of the morning.
And ask for guidance. And would it be appropriate to, I have this family member that lives not that far away, would it ever be appropriate to visit and meet before Peace Story? So I'm not sure that would would it ever be appropriate to say would you like to participate in Peace Story? Would that work? I was just looking at community and establishing, it felt like we were establishing community there at the mountain, and how I just had this desire for community and what the possibilities are for that.
Yeah, so looking at that, it feels like we were building community there, feeling a sense of community, and what possibilities are there for you in building community. Yeah, because I know for me, the only thing that's made it possible for me to really be in community is that I'm learning to be in community with myself. That really, truly is. Because, you know, if we were to hang around Blue Mountain and, you know, just kind of start to be friends and, you know, not really do the structures in the way that we were doing them in a really big hurry, we probably wouldn't be having that much fun anymore. I mean, I don't know if people have a sense of that. Because it can feel like, no, oh, we're all such good people and we're such good friends now. In a big hurry, it would be a different kind of a thing. And I think, to me, I project that's what people are feeling when they come here, a deep sense of community where people can actually, there's the space for people to actually be because there isn't the space for conditioning. And conditioning will always take community, I'm using quote marks in the air, in a really unfortunate direction very quickly. So it just seems so kind and wise to be looking at wanting to be in community and then seek guidance. You know, would it be appropriate to have a relative? Would it not? Because we could so easily get talked into, wouldn't that be so cool? My relative will come and then realize that's not cool at all. That's not fun. I've never met her. I can't really talk. I can't.
Which I think is probably why I didn't end up going in that direction in the first place.
Yeah, because imagine having that. Do you know so and so? Oh yeah, blah blah blah. Well, now what?
Actually, there was a certain. It was interesting. It was just interesting to look at being in a privileged environment in that situation, and also just appreciating the privileged environment and what that offers.
It's key, you know, it is key. And I think it takes a long time for people to realize that that is always going to be an essential element of all of it. You know, so if we get really comfortable and our hearts are really open and we think, okay, well now we don't need the guidelines anymore. It's not true. It's not true.
Yeah,
we're always going to need them. And I think people who have been practicing a really long time find that they bring those guidelines with them into their, at least this is my experience, into their relationships with, even with people who don't practice, you know? So I watch for myself as I interact with my family. I mean, they don't necessarily know it, but I'm, in a sense, following a set of guidelines for myself in those relationships. Yeah, because it can be so easy to just, oh, this is so fun, this is so comfortable, kick back. And go unconscious is what is the end result of that. And then it's not fun. Yeah. Thank you. Jeffrey, we have time for one more quick one.
Yeah, for sure. I can vouch for all of that because the director of the center came up to me and started a whole big conversation.
At the end of
it. And there were no monks around.
Jeffrey, we should have given
it
you
was that one. And that it didn't feel like it was building on the experience.
Yeah. bad thing. It just simply, it's like, almost like the physics of it. Mm. It doesn't build the energy. It begins to deplete it.
Yeah. And the other thing I was thinking about, the two stones that we were talking about, sometimes I'm only able to stay on the stone I'm on and just put a toe on the one. You know, just try it out and go in that direction. But that's what I begin to realize in that process is to drop the story that I can go backwards.
Mm. Mm.
I tend to carry this thing around that I'm, in, you know, on Thursday I'm going to be here and I'm going to go backwards.
Right.
Lose.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Not be able. I'm going to.
Yep.
But as long as the stone is
here. That's really important. Yeah, that's really important. That the only way we could go backwards is if we stop practicing. It's that T-shirt. Does not matter how slowly you go, as long as you do not stop.
Yeah.
If we stop practicing, conditioning will take our lives back over. If we keep practicing, and however that looks, because it can really feel like, especially, you know, I change settings, and conditioning maybe has an easier time in a particular setting, things get difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I can get talked into a story of I'm going backwards, which isn't at all what's happening. What's happening is I'm practicing in this more difficult situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like back to the sports analogies. So my skills are at this level, and I put myself against competitors who are maybe at this level. It can feel like I don't have the same level of skills, but of course I do. In fact, playing the game up to them is going to increase my skills. The conditioning wants to say, well, look at what a bad, whatever tennis player you've become. It's not true at all. It's just I'm in a more challenging situation.
Yeah, and that, just that is the difference between fear and excitement.
Yeah, yes, it is.
You know?
Yes, yes, I do. Yes.
And it feels the same in my body.
Yes. And, you know, where I just went to in the excitement was it would be very fun if, you know, folks wanted to who are, you know, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. I mean, you've got so many more days here. But, you know, to take on as a project, post being at the monastery for a month, how does one support oneself? Because that could be information for the next group of folks. And what a cool project to really take that on, because it would require you to stay here and stay in the game and stay practicing to really watch. What does it take? What happens when I leave? And what, you know, how am I going to support myself?
Yeah. I already started. I started recording reassurances for the trip, for the travels, because I know that that's going to be a really tiring place where whatever stuff might happen. So.
Yeah.
I'll keep you posted.
All right. All right, that's our time. Thank you, everyone.